Gay pride parades have returned to many cities this month for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. They're about celebration and activism and the fight for reproductive rights. That was front and center in many of the marches. In New York on Sunday, people chanted, "Hands off our bodies," to protest the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Brandon Wolfe has witnessed similar scenes. He's an LGBTQ civil rights and gun safety advocate. He's the press secretary for Equality Florida. That's the state's largest LGBTQ civil rights organization. And he is a survivor of the horrific mass shooting that killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, 6 years ago this month. Brandon Wolfe spoke with our colleague Susan Davis this week.
And Brandon Wolfe, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Great to be here.
The past few weeks must have been incredibly intense for you for a number of reasons, but I'd like to start with, how was it for you to see these gay pride marches include protests for women's reproductive rights?
You know, it was really important, and I appreciate you tying those threads together, because the fight for sexual autonomy has always meant sexual autonomy for everyone. The fight for freedom and for liberation has always meant freedom and liberation for everyone. So it means a lot to me that people are finding the strength in that collective power, that people are understanding how these rulings, these policy decisions by lawmakers are impacting us collectively and holistically. And my hope is that it inspires others to jump into the movement. You know, I started to see some of the, "Oh my gosh, we could be next," happening online. And the truth is, there is no "we could be next," because we are right now. We're in it together. Anytime we see rights being stripped away from someone, that's an impact on every single one of us.
I wonder how you would characterize the mood of the gay rights movement now, because I think back to the 2015 same-sex marriage decision in which it was legalized in the country and a constitutional right was established. But now in the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, at least one of the justices, Clarence Thomas, wrote that he believed that there was also a legal basis to potentially overturn that decision, even at a time where I believe the gay rights movement probably thought the country was there with them. Have y'all taken for granted that these things were protected? And do you feel like they could be more vulnerable now than maybe you realized?
Well, I would say no. I think if you're someone who has been fighting for your family to be seen and appreciated and recognized, you never take that for granted. But I do think that the community breathed maybe a sigh of relief in 2015. I think the community saw the rainbows on the White House. They saw folks on the steps of the Supreme Court and thought, maybe we have arrived. And then, you know, I really think that in 2016, not just the election of Donald Trump, but the attack on Pulse nightclub were things that shocked the conscience. Yeah. They were a reminder of the fact that militarized hatred still roams this country. They were a reminder of the work that we have left to do. And then, you know, hearing Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion in Dobbs v. Jackson, I think was part of that shock to the conscience. It was another reminder that opponents to equality didn't just call it a game after 2015. They went back to their drawing boards and their focus groups, and they tried to figure out ways to divide up our community, to go after transgender people specifically, to build political movements on their backs. And ultimately, what we've seen is this sort of intense backlash from those efforts. Started with the conversation about where people can go to the bathroom. And then it became censorship in the classroom. We want to erase LGBTQ people, get rid of those books, tear down those rainbow safe space stickers. And now you have people like Clarence Thomas and others openly talking about revisiting decisions that seemingly we had concluded the society was going to move on from. So the LGBTQ community never takes it for granted.
You mentioned education. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, at your home state, he's a Republican. He signed a bill into law earlier this year. It would forbid instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity to children through the third grade, the so-called Don't Say Gay bill. What do you think the effect of that legislation is going to be in your state?
The law doesn't go into effect until Friday, but we've already seen school districts pulling books from shelves and libraries that have LGBTQ characters, citing the parental rights and education law, saying that they don't want to run afoul of it. We have reports coming out of another school district that they were sent to a mandatory training where educators were told to not put pictures of their same-sex partner on the desk at school, or if a student asked them about without their husband or wife to just refer to them as a friend. All of these things are things that we warned about. You know, these pieces of policy were aimed at erasing people, but that's always been the intended outcome. The Senate bill sponsor told us that. When in debate, he said, you know, I was drawn to this piece of legislation because I have, quote, concerns about how many young people feel comfortable identifying as LGBTQ, and I wanted to put a stop to it. Yeah. Those are young people who desperately need our support.
June 12th marked the 6th anniversary of the Pulse nightclub mass shooting. As we noted, you're a survivor of that shooting. I wonder what it is like for you and how you process it when other mass shootings continue to happen. I mean, you know them well, but Marjorie Stoneman, the Parkland school shooting in 2018, last month, the mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. What is it like for you?
It's really hard. And I think it's difficult when you have experienced something like that because you never know how you're going to respond to it. Sometimes it's easy, you know, for you, like the rest of the country, to feel pain and empathy, but to be able to process it. And then there are other times where it's completely debilitating. I've learned something about myself over the last 6 years, and that's that I am most deeply impacted by these tragedies when they impact children, because I know what they're going to go through. I know the sleepless nights that they're going to suffer through. I know the nightmares that will haunt them. I know the way in which they're going to look for an exit when they enter a public building. I know the innocence that has been stripped from them, this beautiful vision of a world that is safe and full of joy and anything is possible is suddenly tainted by the dark and violent reality that we live in. And so for me, it is crushing when I see these things impacting children. And it's also infuriating that our country has done nothing. For the last year, we've been told by right-wing politicians in this country that the greatest threats our children face are, God forbid, they learn that this country was built on the backs of enslaved Black people, or that they have a teacher that uses they-them pronouns. And at the same time, gun-related injury has surpassed all other causes of death for American children and teenagers. We know what's killing our children. We know that the biggest threat they face is our obsession with easy access to firearms, and our leaders have done absolutely nothing to keep them safe. So,
Can I ask you about that, though? You said nothing, but this time it was a little different. I mean, President Biden just signed into law on Saturday a gun safety bill. It's the first time in a generation Congress has been able to pass anything related to guns. Isn't that a step in the right direction?
That's true. And yes, that is a great step in the right direction. I think there's a lot to be desired in the conversation about what policies need to be passed. There's a whole lot more we need to do on background checks and red flag laws. But it's an important moment, right? As you said, in generations. And that's what I'm referring to. We've gone generations without taking any meaningful action on guns. And that's the reason that right now, gun-related injuries are the number one cause of death for American children. Had we taken action after Columbine, we wouldn't be here today. Had we taken action after Sandy Hook, perhaps we would not be here today. I'm really proud that we've been able to get something over the finish line, and I hope more comes. But this has to be different. We cannot continue down a path of the status quo.
You were the keynote speaker at the New York City Pride Conference. Briefly, what was your message to the people there?
I had a couple of messages. The first one was to get back to our roots. Pride was launched as a protest against police injustice and violence at Stonewall. And we can't forget that. We are in a dark and perilous moment as an LGBTQ community, as a country, as we fight and claw to hold on to our democracy. And so we need that power of protest. And I also challenge people to think creatively about what protest means. Our joy, our celebration, that defiant assertion that we are valuable exactly as we are, that we don't need to change, that is protest. That is an act of resistance. I also encourage people to get civically engaged. At this moment, we have to be unrelenting in our voices and in our votes. We have to drag all of our I'm not political friends out to vote with us. We have to make sure that we hold on to this democracy because it's at the core of everything that we do and all that we are as a nation.
Brandon Wolf is a gun safety advocate and the press secretary for Equality Florida, the state's largest LGBTQ civil rights organization. Brandon, thanks for your time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.